We're in a series called Generations, and the idea is, what if we took a Sunday and we honored and celebrated each generation and tailored our services to a particular generation? So last week we took a survey and we asked people, hey, if you would sing, if you all the songs you'd want to sing, what are the two or three songs you'd want us to sing? You know, what are the topics you'd like to address? And so out of that, we are creating these services. So all those songs we sang before are the songs that everybody 55 and over chose. And so how many know good choices, everybody? That was great, great stuff, okay? And we're having a little bit of fun. But before we get into the message here today, let me encourage you that in just a few weeks, we're starting our group semester. Our vision at our church is everybody would know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And the primary way that you find freedom is through groups, through spiritual community, where discipleship takes place. And so our vision is that everybody would be in a group. Fight Club is one of those groups. Okay, and for guys, let me encourage you to go out in the hub after the service and join Fight Club. My son and I are going to do Fight Club this fall as well. It's going to be great. Divorce Care is a group that's beginning as well. And Freedom Groups actually go online today. And so they begin actually next week. But if you want to be part of a Freedom Group, you can start looking for those today, signing up. If you haven't yet been part of a Freedom Group, start there. Say, Pastor, I've never been part of a group. Well, we encourage you to start. You can start anywhere, but I'm encouraging you to start at Freedom Group if you'd like to do that. And then don't forget, this Wednesday is a back-to-school bash for our students. And this Wednesday night is going to be a great night of fun, a lot of food, a lot of laughter. And somebody's going to get a chance to hit a half-court shot for $1,000. So I'm going to, if they could just have the reverse face app. You know, instead of make me look older, make me look younger, I'll show up and say, hey, this is me. I just had a bad day, blah, blah, blah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, so let's get into the message here today. The three generations that, baptism is today after in the hub as well. So the three generations that we're looking at in these three Sundays, and there, if you do this research, you'll see that there are a lot of different names to different generations and the years, but here's what we're going to build on today. Today, we're going to focus on builders and boomers born before 1965. Everybody born before 1965, can I hear you? There's a few of you, all right? And then next week, we're going to focus on busters and Gen X born 1965 and 1985. Is any of those folks in the house? And then the third Sunday, millennials and Gen Z. You're born after 1985. You don't even remember Ronald Reagan. Are you here? Yeah, that's what I thought. All right. Since we're going to talk about old people today, I thought we should probably start in the Old Testament. Whoa, come on now. I told you we're just going to have a little bit of fun. Is that okay? All right. While you're turning there in your Bible to the book of Leviticus, I found a list of ways to know that you're getting old. How to know that you're getting old. First of all, you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work anymore. You have a party at your house and the neighbors don't even realize it. You quit trying to hold your stomach in no matter who walks into the room. You know you're getting old when your little black book contains a lot of phone numbers, but they all end in M-D. Yeah. I like this one. You finally get it all together, and then you can't remember where you put it. You know you're getting old when your pacemaker opens the garage door whenever you see a 1965 Mustang convertible go by. Last one. This is my favorite one. You know you're getting old when you try to straighten out the wrinkles in your socks and discover you aren't wearing any. All right, you're welcome. All right, today we're celebrating the generation builders and boomers. It's going to be a lot of fun. This series is going to be a lot of fun. But you say, Pastor, why are you doing this? Are you just trying to be nostalgic? No, the goal is not to be nostalgic. The goal is to remind everybody that I'm going to go back here, that we are a family. That the Church of Jesus Christ is a family of believers, older and younger. And we're all one in the body of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, this is from the Living Bible, it's His boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. So I want you to recognize, first of all, that we as a church, as followers of Jesus, the Bible calls us brothers and sisters in the household of faith. God is our Father, right? And so His heart for us is to be a family. Now, this is important because we live in a culture that wants to divide us. We live in a niche culture. Do you know that's why you have 500 channels on television? You say, why in the world would anybody need 500 channels on television? Because the majority of them are aimed at small niches of people, all right? And they're okay with having just 500,000 viewers or 200,000 viewers because that's their niche. Are you getting this? And so we live in a culture where everybody wants to be separated and isolated, but at the church, we're not supposed to divide in our own special interest groups. We're supposed to be a family where every generation is important to the family. Every generation has a unique role in the family. Are you here today? And so today we're going to talk about the older generation. Let me give you some characteristics of this generation. First of all, they know who shot JR. Just remember, everybody under 35, you'll get the jokes 2 weeks from now, okay? They have faced the shock of Pearl Harbor, JFK's assassination in Vietnam. They sacrificed for the benefit of the whole, and they launched America into its most expansive era of material affluence and global power. They see marriage and family not as something to bring them personal fulfillment as much as it is a God-given responsibility. They're not prone to go into debt. Many of them remember when they got their first television, and they actually remember the show Howdy Doody. Oh, yeah. It's Howdy Doody time, oh Howdy Doody. All right. Some of them are old enough to remember the Great Depression. They approach issues with purpose, and they are not excited about change. Ooh, did you feel that? They're very loyal to name brands, stores, and religious denominations. The church was a big part of their lives growing up for the majority of them. They advocate hard work, commitment, and diligence, and many view technology as a nuisance. They make plans and actually stick to them. They are known as the get-it-done generation because of their work ethic and ingenuity. And here's you got to get this. Did you know that 75% of the nation's wealth is in their hands? Pause for a moment and think about that. And here's the cool thing. They are very generous, both to the church and to charities, with their time and with their talent and with their treasure. Now, here's something you might not know about this generation, and that is that this is the fastest growing generation in our culture. That this the older generation over 55 is the fastest growing segment of our American population. As a matter of fact, sociologists have come up with a phrase called silver tsunami to describe what is about to happen in America with the growth of people who are older. Did you know worldwide those who are age 60 and over are expected to double by 2050? People over 85 are the fastest growing segment of the American population. Anybody over 85? All right. Give it up for everybody over 85. That's pretty awesome. Now, here's something that's wild. Did you know that currently there are over 65,000 people over 100 years old? And that number is projected to be 381,000 by 2030. So there's a lot of you around there. And I'm not part of you yet. And I'm okay with that. Right. Now, so let's talk about the Bible in this generation. What does the Bible have to say about this generation? Well, the Bible is very clear that we're supposed to honor this generation. We're going to Leviticus now. I'm going to read from the King James in honor of Rashi Burton, who is here today. She's the first one who showed me this verse in the Bible. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. I remember listening to Rashi. We had a service years ago, and she's like, honor the hoary head. And I'm like, I'm not even sure she's not cussing right there, but that's, hoary means gray hair, okay? And Listen, this is the only generation that the Bible commands us to honor. This is the only generation that the Bible says you must honor these people. How many of you ever heard the phrase, respect your elders? Right? That actually comes from the Bible. We're supposed to honor older people. But why? Write this down. To honor the aged is to honor God. When we honor older people, the Bible says we're actually honoring the Lord. Let's look at Leviticus 19 in a little bit more of a modern paraphrase, New Living Translation. It says, show your fear of God by standing up in the presence of elderly people and showing respect. Would you say respect? Respect, respect for the aged, because I am the Lord. See, the Bible says that honoring elderly people is the same as having the fear of God. Honoring older people is like honoring God himself. And so the Bible says one way to know that a culture has lost its fear of the Lord is when it no longer honors and respects those who are older. How many know we live in that culture? We actually live in a culture of dishonor. We live in a culture where we dishonor people, all kinds of different people, but obviously particularly older people as well. And it's drastically affecting us whether we know it or not. That's one of the reasons that we're doing this service here today as well. The Bible says to honor the aged is also because we gain wisdom. It's just smart, the Bible says, for you to honor the older. Job chapter 12, verse 12, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? And then in Proverbs chapter 16, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. So God says one of the smartest things you can do is have a conversation with an older person. One of the smartest things you can do is learn from those who have gone before you, those who have lived life, those who have experiences, and all of the wisdom that they have. Matter of fact, can I give you some pastoral advice? If you're young and you're married, and let's say that you kind of got a rocky start, find a married couple who's been married 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, and say, can you tell us how it works? Can you give us an idea of what you've learned along the way? Come on, somebody. Can I tell you, young person, high school student, young adult, one of the smartest things you can do is carve time in your schedule to actually learn from somebody older than you. The Bible says that is just smart. That's wise. Even atheists believe this. Andy Rooney was an atheist, and he said the best classroom in the world is sitting at the feet of an elderly person. As one seasoned saint explained, old folks are worth a fortune. They have silver in their hair, gold in their teeth, stones in their kidneys, lead in their feet, and gas in their stomachs. We should have used that one for the offering. I don't know what I was thinking. Listen, you've gone through a lot in your lifetime. Many of you have survived wars, depressions, and changes unlike anything that most of us can imagine. Some of you went from Model Ts to space shuttles. Some of you have lived in the BC era before computers. Your grandkids can't believe that you actually had a TV without a remote, and some of you never had a TV. Some of you, the only running water you had was when you carried the bucket of water from the well really fast. You lived with lead paint and lead of gasoline, and somehow you survived. Somehow you survived without seat belts and airbags and automobiles. And you even stood up between your mom and dad in the front seat of the car while they're driving down the highway. That's illegal now, so please stop doing that. All right. You grew up with prayer in school and paddlings at home. I didn't get paddled at home. My mom and dad didn't believe in paddling. They believed in whippings. Go get you a switch. That is not a paddling. Come on, somebody. Praise God. You went to Sunday school, and that's why you know what a flannel graph is. right? Many of you taught kids classes, you led youth groups, you sung in the choir, you worked behind the scenes to make the church more effective. You gave sacrificially, you served faithfully, you have survived 1,000 changes in the church, you have seen it all. You've lived the life of faith when many around you did not. You have lived to see the fruit of your faithfulness, and we honor you. And most of all, we honor the God to whom you have pointed us to for these many years. And because of you, we are here today. We honor the greatest generation. Come on, somebody. Help me honor. Come on, honor these men and these women who have served God these many years. Come on, come on, come on, let him hear it. Bless God. Bless God. Awesome. Can I encourage you? I so appreciate your heart to do that. But let's not just do it today. Let's do it all the time. Right? Matter of fact, it's not just in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. Paul continues this theme of honoring those who are older. He says in Ephesians 6, he says, so that it may go well with you and that your days may be long upon the earth. Anybody want life to go well? I'm raising my hand. There's 12 of us. Anybody want life, your life to go well, your days to be long upon the earth? Me too. Well, the Bible says, that part of that is honoring. When we honor our elders, it actually affects the quality of our lives. You're not going to hear this on TV, but I'm speaking straight to you here today. And if you're a younger person, if you will listen to what I have to say, I'm about to change your life. Because if you honor the people who've gone before you, the Bible says it will go well with you. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it because God says to do it. But the Bible says as a result of you honoring people, it'll go well with you. And your days will be long upon the earth. Did you know that the Japanese have a long history of honoring older people? In fact, every third Monday of September, there is a national holiday in Japan that's called Respect for the Aged Day. It's a day when everyone shows appreciation for the longtime contributors of society. They celebrate their longevity, and they pray for their health every September. Is it a coincidence that the people with the longest life expectancies are in Japan? So if we're smart, if we honor God, if we want to honor God, if we want to have a long and great life, we want it to go well with us, the Bible says, honor those who are older. Now, I did a social media poll earlier this week. I said, can you help me with some ideas, ways that we can honor older people? And there was, last I checked, 110 comments there. Obviously, this was something that's very important to a lot of people. And if you haven't checked it out, I encourage you to do it. But let me give you just a few highlights. Some people said, just hold the door open for them and be patient with them. A lot of people said, listen to their stories. And when you do, look into their eyes and not at your phone. Don't rush past them in the grocery store or on the sidewalk, or treat them like they're invisible. I heard the word invisible a lot when they talk about honoring the older generation, because that's how many of them feel. Help them if you have a neighbor that is older, why don't you remember that easy tasks are no longer easy to do for older people? Maybe you want to mow the grass, trim the weeds, do small repair jobs, replace smoke alarms, or just stop by and visit. Call them sir and ma'am. It matters. If you want to learn even more, read that post about that and all those great ideas that people had. Because if you do, God will honor you, and it will go well with you. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Amen. Amen. So what does God have to say about this generation? The second part of the message is, what does God have to say to this generation? Does God have a word for this generation? Well, he actually does. He's got a couple things to tell you. First of all, he wants you to know that he's not done with you. Just because You know, you've lived a lot of life. Just because you have a lot of experience doesn't mean that your life is over. God still has a purpose for you and a plan for your life. Matter of fact, I like to call you the Caleb generation. Caleb in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, remember, he says, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Everybody go, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. So the people of Israel are coming into the promised land. There's giants in the land, enemies. Caleb is 85. He does not say, hey, let the younger people do it. Let those other people do it. He said, no. He goes, I'm still ready. I'm still ready to be used by God. You give me that mountain, God. How many know that's great faith? That is great faith. And I know that the temptation is for some in the older generation to say things like, you know what, Pastor, I've done a lot. I've taught classes. I've served the church. Well, it's time to let somebody younger do it. And I know that sounds okay. It's just not in the Bible. Can I challenge everyone that is older today to be like Caleb? I may be older, but God's not done with me yet. And let me just say on behalf of this church, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your experience. We need your love. We need your insight. We need your gifts and your talents. I think a great example of this for me was my pastor as a teenager, Pastor Truman Smith. Now, my dad was my pastor growing up, but he transitioned out of the Baptist church into the Assemblies of God. So there was a period of time that we went to an Assemblies of God church in Columbus, Indiana. During that time, Truman Smith was my pastor. Under his ministry, I was called into the ministry. And by the way, I graduated from Bible college, and on the year that I graduated, it was the year he was retiring, he gave me the large part of his library. Incredible. So after he retired from ministry, he lived, I think, he lived well into his 90s. Matter of fact, he often told me, he said, Wayne, getting old is not for sissies. After he retired, he taught Sunday school class at Parkway Assemblies of God up in Indianapolis. And he would, every now and then, he would come visit us. Every time I would see him, he would say this to me. He said, Wayne, I pray for you every day. That was powerful to me. That somebody's praying for me every day. And I knew that he meant it. And I knew that he did. He said, Wayne, I can't do a whole lot anymore, but I can pray. And I'm praying for you. And I say, thank God for somebody praying for me. Amen. Listen, you may not be able to do as much as you used to do, but you can still do something. If you're retired and you've got some time, can I tell you, find a place to serve. You might have some extra time on your hands. Use it to make a difference. You can pray, right? What if some of you went to the nursery today and say, hey, I just want to rock some babies, and I just want to pray over them, and I just want to sing over them. Come on, somebody. You know, I'm taking my baby to the nursery, and he's 18 because I want, no. Are you hearing me today? How many know that Walmart has got it figured out that that seniors are the best greeters? Listen, you've got a lot to offer. Matter of fact, as a result of Serve Day a few weeks ago, when we all went to Pleasant Crossing Elementary a few weeks ago, there are now 4 senior adults from our church that are volunteering in their library to read to young children. Come on, give it up for people like that. That's pretty awesome stuff. Psalm 71 says, even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, and your power to all those to come. And then Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. The Bible says that each generation has a responsibility to pass on faith to the next generation. I'm trying to tell you something. You're not done yet. You've got a role to play. You've got a purpose to fulfill, and not just to serve and not just to give, but to pass on the faith, to make sure that your legacy of faith continues in the next generation. Are you hearing me here today? Now, to the older generation, can I encourage you never to take on the attitude of, hey, we were faithful, we made it, good luck to the rest of you. Please don't say, you know, well, it worked for us, it ought to work for you. You know, when we were young, we used to dress like this and we would sing these songs and you got to talk like us and then we'll pass on the faith and you can know God. They worked for us, why wouldn't they work for you? If the older generation is determined that the church has to look like them, sound like them, be like them, that church will die. I'll never forget being in a room with Pastor J. Don George. I think that's one of the coolest pastor's names of all time, Pastor J. Don. I'm in this room with him, with several other elderly pastors. And I'm just off in the corner because my mama taught me, when you're in a room like that, shut your mouth and listen. So I was just listening to him. He's telling the story that he planted and founded this church in Irving, Texas, Calvary Church, that grew to thousands of people. You know, and it is a heyday of suits and ties and traditional worship and all kinds of stuff, and God just did great things. Well, he got older and he started to realize there needs to be a succession plan in place for his church. And so God led him and directed him to a young man in his church who was 30 years old. And so they created a succession plan for this guy who was nearing 80 to pass on the church to a guy who was 30. And they did so successfully. And guess what? When the new pastor came on, he changed the worship style. He changed a lot of the culture of the church. But because the pastor, the older pastor, intentionally led the way of passing on the faith, there wasn't this great chasm. There was unity. And that church is growing still bigger than ever before because some elderly pastor said, we're going to intentionally pass on the faith to the next generation. I think that's powerful stuff. I heard this 80-year-old pastor say in a group of elderly pastors, he said, if the church is not changing, the church is dying. That's difficult to hear for a generation that doesn't like change. But we have to realize that the church has to continue to change, not the message, not at all, not the spirit, not at all, but the way things look and sound may change. Unless it does, we'll die. From the 2005 Spiritual Life Report, they were studying the spiritual life of churches in America. They made this statement, no church has a future unless its dreams are bigger than its memories. Throughout the Bible, we see clearly that each generation is called to build on the foundation passed on from the previous ones. And what this means for our church, it means that we have to celebrate every generation and that we honor every generation and that we include every generation in our church, that we will not be a church of niches where the students are over here doing their thing and the old people are over here doing their thing. And the married people over here doing their thing. And the single people over here doing their thing. That's our culture, but that is not the church of Jesus Christ. And matter of fact, that's not a family that God wants us to be. Matter of fact, you got to get this. God's kingdom is for every generation. God's kingdom is for every generation. In Acts chapter 2, Peter says, in the last days, God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. All right? God's last day outpouring is not for the young. It's not just for the old. It's for every generation that he's going to pour out his spirit on people's hearts and lives. And in the book of Titus, Paul is giving this instruction for New Testament Testament churches, I want you to notice this. He says, I want the older men to be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. Older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Do you see the picture Paul's creating here? Younger, older, helping the younger. Older coming alongside, encouraging, teaching, admonishing, training, correcting. Come on, somebody. That's the picture of a healthy New Testament church. And that's what God wants for our church as well. Matter of fact, write this down. Christ's body involves every generation. The Church of Jesus Christ is about every generation. I heard someone say recently that if you have a church that is only focused on one particular generation, it's no longer a church, it's just a ministry. I love this book, Messy Church by Ross Parsley. Not Rod Parsley. Ross Parsley. Look what he says. He says the family analogy is the best picture of what a healthy and vibrant church community is supposed to look like. If you think about it, families are perfectly designed for discipleship. Constant access, consistent modeling, demonstration, teaching, and training. Conflict management and resolution, failure, follow-up, and feedback. And this should all happen in an attitude of love. Children are raised, parents are matured, and grandparents are valued all at the same time. This is God's design. Here's the deal. By definition, a family has every generation. Older, younger, and everything in between. Every part of the family being important, every part of the family bringing value. I'm almost done. Just hang with me. Gary McIntosh said, vital growing churches in the next decade will be those that can successfully reach, win, and keep multiple generations. For this to happen in existing churches, leaders need to make bold, long-term plans for blending builders, boomers, busters, and bridgers into a unified church. Of course, there are risks involved in attempting a blend, but the call of Christ to make disciples makes the risks worthwhile. Bottom line, we need each other. In order for us to be the family that God wants us to be, we need every generation. We need every student. We need every young man, every young lady. We need every family, every couple, regardless of what your family situation looks like right now. Every older person, we need you. And see, when we gather around the table, and next week's message will be an illustrated sermon about the dining room table, but when we gather together, we recognize and honor each other. That's our heart. That's God's heart. That's what He wants. I want to pastor that church. A church that is on purpose intergenerational. A church that is on purpose celebrates the young, honors the young, invests in the young. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But a church that also recognizes the seasons of life that people are in, including those who are older. Let me just go ahead and just speak from my heart to those of you that are older. Especially those of you that have been here for a long time. Thank you. If you've been going to this church for any length of time, you have heard us say, we're going to try this. And you did. Things have changed. 5 building programs, all kinds of crazy stuff, and you're still here. On behalf of Tracy and I, thank you. Thank you for going with us. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for coming alongside. You've changed our lives. You've changed this community. You've changed the world. And we honor you and we celebrate you. We will never forget you. We will never not remember you in our plans, in our visioning, in our planning for the future, because it won't be that long. I'm going to be one of you. Come on, somebody. We honor you. We celebrate you. In just a few minutes, I want to bring this service to a close by modeling what it should be for one generation to bless another. So here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you to, everybody 55 and older, to come forward and stand across the front. Now, we're not going to have enough room for everybody to be across the front, so some of you are going to need to go and stand in front of the stadium back there, okay? And then what's going to happen after that, I'm going to ask everybody 35 years of age and younger to come stand in front of them. And then we're going to have a blessing of generations. The older are going to bless the younger, and the younger are going to bless the older. How many think that's a great idea? Now, let me preface that by saying, you say, Pastor, hey, no way I'm doing that. That's okay. If you're a guest or that in any way makes you feel uncomfortable, no pressure at all for you to do it. But I just think this is the right way to end this service. Now, before we do that, I want to show you a story, because about 5 years ago, we did something very similar to this, of this generational blessing. And so we called the older generation forward to lay hands and bless the younger. And then we challenged them, hey, what if you guys connected and started a relationship, an intergenerational relationship? And Rita and Olivia did just that. And they're going to share their story. Watch this.
Yeah, so I remember like coming down to the stadium, and he was like, all right, go to someone down there and like have them talk and like pray for each other. And so I remember seeing Rita standing there, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm just gonna go talk to her because I kind of don't want to do this.
When we finished praying, I felt the Lord speak into my heart and telling me that I needed to get her information and keep in touch with her. And I'd no sooner thought that than Pastor Wayne mm-hmm. said that. And I thought, okay, I get the message, Lord, you know. So I got her phone number, and I think I texted you maybe that afternoon on the way home.
Yeah, it was really fast.
and then we got together pretty soon after that.
She was super intentional and, like, even consistent. I think it was being, like, consistent that I was, like, kind of, like, blown away. I was like, wow, like, she's actually wanting to have this relationship, and, like, she actually cares. I think it was 1 year before we met. My grandma had actually just passed away, and my grandma had always raised me, her and my mom. So it was really sweet that, like, I got connected with Rita and how she was just super, like, caring.
I did kind of feel like maybe I could be an extra grandma or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, have a relationship. And then I found out that she really had an interest in missions. And I thought, wow,
yeah.
That's a big interest of mine. And then a couple, 3 years later, maybe, there was someone deaf here on a Sunday. And I was signing for the service. And she came to me and says, I didn't know you could sign.
Yeah.
You know? So just these interests that we had no clue about to start mm-hmm. with that we share in common. That was, I thought, was pretty neat how the Lord put all that together.
She has supported me, her and Ken have supported me so much in prayer, financially, just going on missions trips, just always being like...
I really wanted to support her. I would be a little bit upset if she didn't let me know when she was going on a missions trip, you know, and I couldn't support her because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. We still try to make a point to go out to eat sometimes, and we see each other at church, and there's just definitely a bond there and a definite connection. I'd like to encourage everyone to be intentional about creating a relationship with someone of another generation. It will bless you far more than you would even think or imagine.
Even all the wisdom that Rita just gives me, even just in little conversations or at lunch, like, it's something I wouldn't trade the world for.
Can we all stand today? Can I have everybody 55 and older come across, stand across the front? Some of you just stand across the stadium, if you would. As you come, we're going to sing the chorus of this old song.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Savior, all the time.
5 years of age or younger, would you go find one of these older generation and come and stand in front of them? We're going to sing the chorus one more time as you come.
And this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. And this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior.
If you haven't done so yet, make sure you introduce yourself to them as much as possible. I like it to be one-on-one, all right, as much as possible. If you've got two, remember, older people, you got two hands, right? All right, God bless you. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. If everybody would listen to me real quickly, I'd like you, older generation, would you lay your hand on the shoulder of that person in front of you, and I want you to give them this blessing. And if you don't mind, look them in the eye. Is that okay? Would you say this with me? From this day forward, I bless you and release you to attempt great things for God. Today, I give you my blessing. From me and my generation, may the Lord's hand be upon you all the days of your life. May God's favor be on you and your future. May you always serve Him. May your life be lived for the glory of God. May He give you the desires of your heart. I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, younger, it's your turn. If the younger would do the same, either take the hand of the older person in front of you or put it on their shoulder and pray this way. And again, if you can, look them in the eye. This is important. And say this. For the life that you have lived, for the sacrifices you have made, for the generosity you have shown, thank you. My generation thanks you. May my life honor yours. May my generation honor yours. I bless you in Jesus' name. Somebody give God praise for good stuff happening right here. Now here's the deal. Some of you may want to exchange contact information and do what Rita and Olivia did a few years ago. And some of you younger may have to help the older with their phones and give all that. And if the Lord leads, no pressure at all, but if the Lord leads and you want to initiate a relationship from here on out, then you do that, all right? So take time to do that. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day in Jesus. Amen.